So we're starting on the bottom here of page Kuf Lamed Ches on the right side. And maybe one way to introduce this, to think about this, is a phrase that some of you may be familiar with that you come across. Several years ago, I had the chance to travel and I spent a few days at a friend of mine in London. And then a short period of time later, Nechama and I were married at that time, and before we moved to Chicago, we were traveling, I have a colleague and a friend in Scotland, so I was visiting with him for Shabbos, giving shiurim. So we stopped in London for 2 days on our way to Scotland, and it's obviously fascinating when you go to a different city, and it's interesting, at least to me it's very interesting, and you sometimes pick up on the small things, because at that time we were living in New York, and we had a specific kind of experience with the New York City subway, and then we took the tube. I remember when I went also as a single fellow, it was a very different experience in many respects than it was taking the New York City subway. But the thing that stood out most that I love, that kind of still rings in my ear, there is a phrase that they use when the train pulls into the station. And what is that? That's right. Mind the gap. Mind the gap means there's going to be a small space in between the platform and the train. And if you're not careful, you could have trouble. So I don't remember what they said in New York, but it was probably something not like mind the gap. I don't want to say God forbid Lashon Hara about New York. We have a lot of Hakaras Tov. We live there. But it was a different feel than the, especially with the British lilt, the mind the gap. And that thought of mind the gap is at the crux of what we are going to focus on this morning. That begins on the bottom of the page, where Rav Volbe here, in the continuation of his discussion about avoda pratis, about personal growth, individualized personal growth, he says, ilazos, following up on the previous point, which was about das, meikari avodaseinu b'torahi, or who, from the central components of our avoda in Torah, it is, libilti, that it should not, Hifrid Bishum Ofen, to divide in any way bein machshava umaisa, between thought and action, bein seichel, between the intellect, viregesh, and emotion and feeling, bein chiyuv, between obligation, vikiyum, and fulfillment. That is a big challenge, to mind that gap. How to narrow that gap. If you look in mystical traditions, you find on occasion a phrase that refers to our world, and it's referred to as an alma de piruda. Pirud means lahafrid, to separate. And that we live in a separated or fragmented or fractured world. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a great book. It's called To Heal a Fractured World, as if to say the world was whole and then it's fractured and it's our job to put it back together. So there is, when you break something, when you take a cookie and you break it in half, there's a space, there's a gap between the two sides. The Alba to Piruda, on a Kabbalistic level, what they're saying is that there is a gap between godliness itself, the Ribono Shel Olam b'Chavod of Atzmo, and the feeling of Hashem in the world, and the appreciation of Hashem. You know, do you perceive God all the time? Probably not. That's why Rabbi Yudin, our rabbi from Fairlawn, he pointed out once, you know, Rabbi Yudin has a ton of experience and a lot of life situations, so he once told me, he said, that's why when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you cover your eyes. Because in our world, a lot of times you don't see echad, you don't see it come together, you see it's apart. So to say Hashem Echad, sometimes you have to close your eyes, because we live in an Alma de Piruda, in a fractured world, in a bifurcated world. One day, that's what Rashi says, Bayomahu yeah Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Ichud means it's all going to come back together. But right now we live in the Alma de Piruda, in the fractured world. So the challenge, which is hardwired into life, is to take those pieces that are separate, broken apart, and put them together. And notice how he breaks them down in interesting ways. He talks about the gap between thought and action. That was the first, machshava and maisa. That's a tough gap to bridge sometimes. You know, we have the right thought, we have the right intention, we have the right plan, but then we don't execute. We, what do they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. We think the right thing, we want to do the right thing, we have the right machshava, but then where's the follow-through? Where's the maisa? Between Seichel and Regesh. Here's another interesting gap. Because you could take somebody who is highly intellectually invested in something, but emotionally it doesn't mean anything to them. So you could have somebody who can express to you the psychological benefits of taking once a week for a day off. They call it Shabbos. They put away other technology. But they don't have any feeling for the experience of the Shabbos. Between Chiyuv v'Kiyum, between the obligation and the fulfillment. So all of these speak to a bifurcation. And so it's a big challenge, but it's something that we need to keep coming back to, which is how to close that gap. We need to be mindful of it, first of all. We've talked about self-awareness. We have to understand the issue. If we don't know what it is, we're never going to solve it. But now that we've identified it, we've got to close the gap. So he says, Hagu harbe chokrim, this is the last three words on the right-hand column, many intellectual philosophers and thinkers have thought, v'chukim musariyim kavu, and they can articulate a philosophy of ethical behavior. Yet, aval tohom peor, bein hadrisha, top of the next column, first line, uvein akiyum, afilu eitzel hahugim atzmam. You could have somebody who could be a profound architect of noble society, and yet they live as a total oisvar, if you'd say in Yiddish, is somebody's totally undignified. What do you mean? They had this clear understanding, this clear picture of what an upstanding citizen is supposed to look like. Yeah, well, there's a big difference between the theory of what an upstanding citizen is supposed to look like versus the practical. I see it for myself. I could give a very good shiur about Lashon Hara one day, and then the next day I'm saying Lashon Hara. It doesn't make any sense. Because obviously, I'm struggling with a big par. That's in Hebrew, that would be the gap. A big gap between the theory and the reality. He says, Lo kein, not so, b'Torah u'gdoleha. Not true when it comes to Torah and giants of Torah. Asher ba, kol pirud, any separation, kazeh, like this, l'tumah yechashev. Pirud, we like to think, if somebody would talk to you about pirud, about being separate, so you would say, obviously, pirud means the antithesis of achdus, of unity. So that, obviously, we're not going to countenance that. But now he's saying something even deeper. He's saying that a person who's a real Torah personality, and we know men and women like this, they are totally integrated people. It's not that they're one person in the street and another person at home. It's not that they, you know, talk the talk but don't walk the walk. They're totally integrated. The same thing you see on the outside is what you see on the inside. The Gemara calls that Tocho Kebaro. Their inside is like their outside. So he says that is what we're going to aspire to. We're going to aspire, and we know when we've made it big. You know when we've become an Adam Gadol, when that gap disappears. Until we've reached that level, We still got work to do. So now he quotes Marami Panu, who is one of the... He's from Italy, which is why his name is Rav Menachem Azariah of Fano, which was there were quite a few Italian Chachamim who have become significant contributors both in the world of Halacha and in the world of Hashkafa. They're not always well known, the Italian Rishonim and Achronim, but there were quite a few. So Rav Menachem Azariah of Fano is the one who he quotes now on the third line. How enlightening are the words of the Maharami Pano, Rav Menachem Azariah of Fano, Alav HaShalom, Ki Yisod Hashem Hu HaElokim, that from the principle of Hashem Hu HaElokim, which is the phrase that we say, let's say, on Motzoi Yom Kippur seven times, there is this idea that there is Hashem and there is Elohim, right? Two different names, all of a sudden now they are the same. You're going from Pirud, separate names, to oneness. He says, Shahavaya Nivlas Bahashkacha Yotzei. This is a deep Kabbalistic idea that I don't really know what it means. This idea that Hashem Hashem and Shem Elohim, two different aspects of Hashem Yisbarach. Ki Halimud Hu Amaisa. The learning and the doing are the same. Right? So interesting. For us, the Gemara has a question. Which is greater, learning or doing? Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol? The Gemara says, oh, you know which is greater? Talmud is Gadol. Why? Because Talmud, mevili de Masa. The learning, it eventually results in the doing. So there's a gap. There's the learning, and then there's the doing. But what if we could fuse those two, that our learning would become the doing? He said, that's the secret of Hashem Hu Elokim. This deep Kabbalistic idea, it's actually a plain practical observation for us to get to a point where we are so in sync with ourselves that our values are expressed in our actions. Sounds very simple. I don't know about anybody else. It's a very challenging thing. It's very challenging. Klomar, so to speak, he says, Sheba emes, in truth, I'm on the fifth line, Ein pirud bein limud umaisa. There is no difference between the learning. There's no separation. There's no gap between the learning and the doing. Ubesoch hamaisa, and within the action that we do, nivla halimud, is included the learning. So when we do something, we do it with a sense of fullness. There's an understanding, there's an appreciation. It's not just a mechanical action by rote. He said, v'shezeh mechuyav misod hayichud atzmo, shehu yisod kol haTorah kula. That comes from the unity of godliness, which is at the center of the spark of all of the Torah. Amazing. This is one of the Rambam's 13 Ekronot, 13 principles, core principles of faith, which is the unity of God, which is a very hard thing, at least for someone who's not philosophically inclined like me. It's a very hard thing to grasp what that means and why is that important. Why is it significant that when we say Echad, one means Yachid Umiyuchad, sui generis. Why is that significant? So on a deep level, I probably don't understand it. I'm sure I don't understand what it really means that godliness is echad, oneness of God. Now, that's a very, very deep idea. But on a simple level, Rav Volbi is telling us is, wait a second. For the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no gap to mind. It's not that there's a thought and that there's an action. It's not that there's, you know, what our ideal should look like, and then there is what the practical should look like. It's all one. Only when it comes to us do we find there's a difference between machshava and maisa. You notice, perhaps, that this is actually, it's a consequence of creation, you could say, in a certain way. Because if you look carefully, the world was created with two different names of God. We alluded to it earlier, that there is a name of God which is Elohim, which means strictness, nature, din, judgment, That's one. And then there's Hashem, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. That means compassion and mercy and second chance. And in the first parak of Bereishis, it's only Elohim. And then when Adam is introduced the second time, it's Hashem Elohim. So Rashi has a small comment. He quotes from Midrash. He says, "Bitchila, initially, Ola b'machshava, the Ribbono Shalom had a thought to create the world in din, with judges, judgment. But he saw that the world would not be sustained. We couldn't sustain the scrutiny of non-stop judgment. So what he did was, shitif imo midos harachamim, he added, he blended in an element of mercy. So there is still din, and there's still mercy. It's like a marble cake. You know, you have the yellow, and then you have the chocolate, and they're kind of like, they're somehow folded into each other. But what's the gap? The gap is between the machshava, betchila alava machshava, and the maisa of how we actually created the world. Because he says, you guys, you're not at the level yet where you can handle an integrated existence. Because an integrated existence means there is absolutely no room to move from the din to the rachamim, from the ideal to the actual. Everything has to be perfect all the time. So for the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not a big deal because he is perfect. So for him, the machshava and the maisa, they all go together. So bitchila, when God began to create the world in his image, it was going to look perfect. It was going to be a seamless mirror, the machshava and the maisa. And then he said, it's just not going to work. So we're going to break it. We're going to fracture it. So the truth is, it's not really Adam and Chava's fault. Hardwired into the world is that you don't see godliness everywhere. It's not a clear reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is our job? And as he alluded to, the greater the tzaddikim, they get closer and closer to closing that gap. That's perhaps why when the Malachim looked at Rabbi Akiva and they said, how could he die such a horrible death? Such as one of the most righteous, accomplished, pious sages of history. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to them, be quiet. Kach Allah b'machshava lafanai. There are some people who are so close to perfection that they could withstand the scrutiny of real din. Thankfully, well, most of us are blessed that we've not held to that standard. Mi yitzdak lefanecha kol chai. Who could withstand that standard? But the idea is that there is an existence like that. And there are people who close that gap so much, like Rabbi Akiva, that when Rabbi Akiva died and he was being tortured to death, he said, ah, I've been waiting for this my whole life, that I could say Shema Yisrael and be become one mitzvah that nobody else could do, which is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So his life was mamish. There was maybe a hair's breadth just because he was human. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no barrier between what he saw and the Ribbono Shel Olam. He saw Ba'as Baklari Ameira with a clear lens. It means that there was no gap. We're, in our own lives, are looking to close that gap. That's what we're going to try to do. And what do we need to do that? We need to try to marshal all of the disparate pieces and put them together. Meaning, we need to try to bridge the seichel, the intellect, and the lev. You know, someone once said, the longest distance is between the mind and the heart. That's a very true statement. You know, you can think one thing, but to feel something else, it doesn't always go together. We need to think about where are the gaps. Is the gap between the thought and the execution? Or is the gap between what I think I need to do and what I should be feeling that I should be doing? So he says, next paragraph, Adam ha-magbir koch machshavto, a person who cultivates their mind, but umazniach es hispailos halev, but he abandons the feeling and the experience of the heart. Or, oh, misnaig shelo kafi machshavaso atova, or he acts not in consonance with what he knows or she knows is the right thing to do. That is ein ze ela adam chelki. That's only a partial person. That's only half of who you are. That means your machshava is online, but your ma'aseh is not. Al ha'adam l'hisametz ba'avodaso. It is the job of a person, each of us, which is why we're learning this sefer, is l'hisametz ba'avodaso. It's to be courageous in our growth, and to do what? Le'ached, to unify, to bring it together, to close the gap. Dafka, kol kochosav ba'avodaso. To bring together all of the kochos that we have. Because we have them. It's just that they're segmented. They're in different places. They're in the mind and in the heart. They're in the consciousness versus in the hands or in the feet. So in a certain sense, you could argue this is maybe an ultimate v'halachta v'drachav, being like Hashem. Because for God, everything is echad. There is no gap. It is the Shem Havaya and the Shem Adnos, they're all together. The two names of God are one, it's really one being. We just see it as two names. But Be'etzem Atzmuso, for Hashem himself, it's only one. So how do we imitate God? By becoming more one ourselves. Yeah.
It seems to me, though, that there are places in the Torah, including just this past Shabbos, where it implies that there is sort of a gap for Hashem, too. I mean, when he says he's going to destroy the Jewish people after the Meraglim come back,
yes,
and Moshe Rabbeinu convinces him not to, isn't that kind of a gap? Or with Avraham at the beginning, when he's going to destroy Sodom and Amorah, and Avraham argues with him about, you know, how many people... there seems to be some sort of a gap within Hashem himself.
Right, so that's a good point. Sometimes you'll find things like that, or other examples where, you know, the Gemara has a description of Melech Asur Barahatim, that the Ribbono Shalom Kiviyachol is chained to something. Some say, you know why we say Kol Nidre before you start Yom Kippur? Because we want to have a Bezdin to be matir all the things that God said he was going to do to us. We want to do Hataras Nadarim, that he shouldn't be bound to those things. Because he is the king who is chained. So all of those descriptions, and then they become anthropomorphic and things like that, all of those are really only within the box of our existence. For the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, Kivyachol, there is no changing of his mind. That's why a lot of people are troubled by this medrash that says, "Betchila ala b'machshava." First he intended to create the world with din, and then he changed his mind, he changed it to rachman. What does that mean? God, it says, Pasuk says, in the Navi, "Ani Hashem lo shanisi." God says, I do not change. I don't age. I don't change my mind. Vayinachem Hashem, God was comforted. Nachama doesn't just mean comfort, it means change of perspective. You thought about something one way, and then over time, with a new perspective, you have nechama, you have a different way of looking at something. It doesn't have to necessarily do with loss, it could be do any difficult circumstance. So how could it be that Hashem is vayinachim? He changed, he first looked at something one way, and then he looked at something else. It doesn't make sense. But all those things are one of two ways. Either they're only speaking in the context of our world and the way that Hashem relates to us, or they're actually opportunities by design. Meaning, it doesn't mean that God first thought, oh, I'm going to create the world one way and then I'm going to change my mind. The other way to say that really God meant initially, I'm going to create it in stages. First, I'm going to present a concept called judgment, and there will be a few people in the course of eternity who will withstand that scrutiny. And then as part of the process, I'm going to get to the Rachman. It's a process. So Moshe Rabbeinu was perhaps being given a challenge or a chance by Hashem Yisbarach to stand up. Hashem knew, he knows the future. He knew that how many cities were going to be destroyed in Sodom. And he knew whether he was going to take the people into Israel or not. This is very much a Rabbi Jonathan Sacks theme. And we're running out of time for a longer discussion. But it's that the reason why when Avraham Avinu saw the house burning was because the Ribbono Shel Olam was sending him a message. Say, look, there's a house burning. You should get a bucket. it's a little different way of seeing this medrash. There's a story about Avram seeing a burning building and saying, oh, there must be a balabas for this building. So the way Rabbi Sachs takes that medrash is that Avram Avinu understood when there's a house burning down, you should go find a fire hose. You know, when you see the world is broken, you should fix it. Help somebody, do something, contribute. So it doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam is changing. It means he's giving us an imperfect world and saying, make something of it, fix it. But the idea, coming back, and with this we'll conclude, the idea, he says, is that we have this capability. Sometimes it feels very overwhelming. And we fail, shouldn't speak for anybody else. I fail all the time to bridge that gap between what I know the right thing is to say or to do or to think, and then what I do say, do, or think. But it should not deter us or discourage us. Because ultimately, if we are a Tzelem Elokim, if we are agents of Hashem, so then we have that spark of godliness, we have that Echad within us. Everybody has the spark of Echad. So even though we are living in the Alma de Piruda, we're living in a fractured world, but we have the ability to mend it. And every day, when we do close that gap, when we mind it and we close it, we come closer to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives in a very practical and inspirational way. So I hope you have a great day. And I hope the weather gets better a little bit. It's a little bit not so nice.